Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at VanDiest Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and today we're going to have somewhat of a part two of our functional health topic. And we're going to be talking with one of our occupational therapists and one of our physical therapists with 21st Century Rehab. Before we do, I would like to share a couple of announcements. As I've shared on previous shows, the month of April is Occupational Therapy Month, and 21st Century Rehab is celebrating by offering free 30-minute exams. So if you are someone who has issues with range of motion to, or possibly an injury to hand, wrist, elbow, arm, or shoulder, you can certainly make an appointment by calling the department at 515-832-7735. We have Diana Raska, who is an occupational therapist. She's also LSVT BIG certified, and you're going to hear from Diana on today's show. And we also have Sarah Zorn, who is an occupational therapist, and she is also a certified lymphedema therapist. So if you're someone that has lymphedema, has chronic swelling, this would be a wonderful opportunity to take advantage of. Again, it's during the month of April, free 30-minute exams with one of our occupational therapists, and you can call the department at 832-7735. I've also mentioned previously that the month of April is Foot Health Awareness Month, so show your feet some love. If you're needing an appointment for any foot or ankle issue, we have a full-time podiatrist at VanDiest Family Health Clinic here in Webster City, Dr. Benjamin Willis. You can call to schedule an appointment at 515-832-7800, and we certainly want you to keep your feet happy and healthy. And then lastly, I've given several reminders too, but we do have our orthopedic services back with us this week. We have partnered with Iowa Ortho out of Des Moines, and we have Dr. Brett Rosenthal, who is an orthopedic spine specialist. He is here today. And tomorrow we'll have Dr. Scott Shumway back, and Dr. Shumway is a hand and upper extremity specialist. To schedule an appointment with either of the orthopedic specialists, you can call our specialty clinic department at 515-832-7746. And with that, we are going to get started into our program. So I'll remind listeners that about a month ago, we had physical therapist Kevin Boltina with us, and we talked about functional health. And he covered a few of the topics within functional health. And there's so many different avenues that we can explore with functional health. So I'm very excited to have back with us today Diana Raska, who I mentioned is one of our occupational therapists. And we have Susan Woodall, who is with us, and she is a doctor of physical therapy. And they're going to be addressing a few more topics within functional health. So I want to welcome both of you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning,
Lori. Thank you for being here on the program today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Let's start by maybe having each of you just share a little bit about yourself, a little bit of introduction, background experience, and how long you've been doing what you're doing.
Yeah. So I'm Diana, and I'm an occupational therapist here at VanDiest Medical Center. We are contracted through 21st Century Rehab. So I have been here for, it's been a little over 7 years, and I did my clinical rotation here. So actually, I've probably been here 10 years if you count the clinical rotation with them. And I have just grown with occupational therapy, added, like you had mentioned, the LSVT BIG certification, and just really enjoyed working in this setting, the rural setting, with different areas of occupational therapy that we have here with the inpatient and the outpatient services. So,
and I'm Susan Woodall, physical therapist. And one of the things that I'm going to be going over today is some stuff about mindfulness and stress and breathing. I do have a couple of additional degrees in psychology and guidance and counseling, which I think leads nicely into this. I have been working in rural hospitals as a physical therapist for 33 years. I have worked in rural hospitals since I was 16 years old, the entire time, all through college, everything. So we're not going to add up those years onto that.
Susan, that is fantastic.
Thank you.
Well, again, I certainly appreciate you both being on the show today. As a quick recap, let's do an overview on functional health. Mm-hmm. And maybe for some that hadn't tuned in to that previous program that Kevin was on.
Yeah. So functional health, a way to think about that is a holistic, patient-centered approach that identifies and addresses common triggers to chronic disease and illness. These may include poor nutrition, dehydration, poor sleep, and decreased physical function.
Very good. And it is about that ability to perform all of one's activities of daily living and really about living healthy. I mean, it's really, you know, when Kevin talked about it, it really is some basic concepts. But there are several things that are combined into functional health. So I love that we're doing kind of this second part in a series. I know we want to talk a little bit more about how we incorporate functional health with physical and occupational therapy. So I'll let somebody, or maybe both of you, talk about that.
Yeah. So as occupational therapists and physical therapists, we spend additional time listening to our patients about their medical history, their current health status, their diet, and their lifestyle habits to identify those potential triggers that could be impeding on their current diagnosis or even their overall wellness. We take that information and then we create a personalized plan to address these triggers to improve their overall lifestyle wellness. So like for an occupational therapist, for example, I may have a client come in with a wrist fracture. So as occupational therapists, we don't just treat the wrist fracture, we treat the whole person. And we look at history intake questions, which may include not just pain level and their range of motion, but also we may ask them questions about what's their current water intake, what's their nutrition, physical activity levels, their sleep and their stress levels. So all of that impacts a person's recovery plan. So if a person isn't drinking enough water, they're not eating a good amount of protein or getting enough sleep, that recovery process is going to be affected. So we take that all into hand. Susan, do you have an example of a patient you've seen?
I'm thinking like a total knee replacement. Mm. It's so painful and difficult to get across the room to think about getting a drink. So we talk about ways they can just make that part of their day, make that easier. Mm. We also incorporate talking back and forth between OT and PT. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody has a total knee that has a lot of swelling. Okay, they might not think they need to increase their hydration, but sometimes increasing their hydration is exactly what they need. So we work, we just go back and forth. It's a very collaborative effort mm-hmm. on our part. And if we have somebody who has more information about a particular thing, then we'll just work together to get the patient exactly what they need, whatever information they specifically need.
That is mm-hmm. terrific. And it really is a team approach.
Absolutely.
There mm-hmm. is a team of specialists in the rehab department, and they all do a fantastic job. And there, I know there's mm-hmm. there's just a lot of that working together and collaborating with patients. Like you said, there are different areas of expertise within the team, and why not utilize all of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do that a lot.
You know? Absolutely. Yeah. Now, you both touched a little bit on hydration with your examples, and that was something that Kevin had shared when he had been on the program, that there was a challenge that was put forth.
Yep. So we got the challenge as mm-hmm. part of 21st, and Kevin also challenged everybody for the next month to try and drink 16 to 32 ounces first thing in the morning before your coffee. Our challenge went just a little bit further in that we were to add a dash of salt and a half of a lemon, the juice from half mm-hmm. of a lemon. So I tried the half of the lemon. That did not work for me, but the salt went great. Very high quality salt is best, and we help patients in making choices with what might, you know, what can you afford, and then what is optimal, and we go from there. But I found that it was so helpful to me that I've kept doing it ever since, and I think a number of people have.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really hard for me in the morning because I wake up in the morning, I always go right to the coffee pot and make that. And so that was challenging for me. And I think I started out as doing like 8 ounces of water while I was making my coffee. And then I've slowly like increased that to 16. I did the same thing, trying the salt, not a lemon person, same with Susan. So I ended up actually getting like a mix, like an electrolyte mix, and that worked well for me because there's some flavored. The flavors, though, that's a whole nother ball game when you go for artificial, you know, sweeteners, because we try not to do those. But there's more natural sweeteners like stevia, which we would agree, Susan, if you're looking at that. But you know, otherwise you want to stay away from the artificial sugars like the sucralose and aspartame and things like that. So you have to really read your labels. So if you're doing electrolyte mix, really read that. And that helped me in the morning because otherwise I just couldn't get just a glass of water down. So now I'm doing better.
Yeah, so I actually prepare mine the night before.
Oh, yeah.
That's so that it is sitting there ready without excuse. And so now it's just like second nature. And if I don't have it there, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of thirsty. Mm-hmm. Electrolyte mixes is something that we can recommend some optimal ones, but again, that's something that we really need to work with your medical provider on, and also knowing your history. You know, do you have issues with electrolytes? How many different fluid reducers are you taking? You know, what's your cardiac status? So for people with those kind of challenges, we can discuss with the doctor or have the patient discuss with the doctor what would be optimal for that person.
Definitely more to think about there.
Oh, absolutely.
So did you each notice differences when you were drinking that water first thing in the morning?
I wake up faster.
Oh, yeah. I feel like my head's just a little clearer. Like I'm just have a little bit more energy, you know, because like I said, I was grabbing that coffee right away. And so, and I do a higher quality coffee as well, and I cut back on my caffeine. So I'm doing really like a 3/4 decaf. High quality, like low mold coffee. So that's another. See, there's all these different aspects. So
there's so much we could talk about.
So there's rabbit holes.
Yeah. Yes. So, and I'm kind of working on some of those things myself. So that's why it's, you know, it's very individualized, and what you're sensitive to. So I've learned like I'm more sensitive to the caffeine part. So then I cut back on that, but also the quality of the coffee as well, and then adding in water. And then you get into that same thing with quality of water, too. So, you know, those are like some good basics.
Right. And it can be really overwhelming as a patient because we have all these amazing ideas and all the optimal things you can do. Yeah. But we have to hold ourselves back sometimes and consider. And one of the questions I like to ask is, what is your roadblock to getting healthier? You know, because a lot of times it's financial. Mm-hmm. They just can't afford what is optimal. So let's look at other options that do fit with your life or time. You know, we can give you lots of time-saving things, and doing stress reduction actually helps to free up more time because you're not trying to multitask and your brain's not overwhelmed and frazzled.
Gosh, it's all so interesting to me. I could just spend hours talking about it and just, so many questions that do pop up. But you're right. For patients, it is making it manageable for them so that they can make those steps, you know. And a lot of times, as we know, it's baby steps. And we want to get some of these healthy lifestyle practices really hardwired. And so we're going to be talking about some of those today. Okay. Sleep. Should we talk about sleep?
Yeah. I love sleep. Sleep
Me
is.
Too.
Yes.
And it's so important.
It's my favorite.
You don't know how many times I will tell people, like, sleep is just so critical.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish people would would really consider and give it more priority. Just, you know, the amount of sleep, good sleep, and I know we're going to be talking about that. So
yeah. And then with sleep, so I like the topic of sleep because, first of all, it is an occupation. And what is an occupation? It is something that occupies your time, which occupational therapy, the occupation. So sleep is definitely something that we've addressed for a long time. And so that helps in the recovery process. It helps with kind of like what piggybacks off of Susan's topic with the stress management. And so I go over sleep hygiene tips with people because, you know, someone may be like, oh, I'm sleeping just fine, you know, and then you dig in. How many hours are you sleeping? You know, so ideally 7 to 8 hours is a good time-wise. So, Lori, how many hours do you sleep a night?
Actually,
just as an example.
This is really interesting because for the longest time, I was a person that did not require much sleep. Yeah. And if I would get 6, I would be good. And I have since learned 7 hours for me is perfect.
Yeah.
And I really do try to stick to that, maintain that, go to bed at the same time, getting up at the same time, so much so that now if I'm off just 20, 30 minutes going to bed, it changes my routine in the morning. It can just one night even. Yeah. So 7 hours is really what I shoot for.
And I like that. That's for me too. Mm-hmm. So I feel like on the weekends, sometimes I will have maybe 8 hours, but it's that 7 hour sweet spot during the work week. And you mentioned your routine, going to bed and getting up at the same time. That is a huge thing as well. You just fall into that routine, so then your body gets used to that rhythm and like that circadian rhythm with the sun, you know, and, you know, the dawn and dusk, and just getting used to that light, seeing that morning light first thing will help reset your sleeping patterns if you're having difficulties. So yeah, definitely your routine is huge. And I would say just, you know, if you're having trouble sleeping, we dig into like really figuring out what's going on, you know. So we ask them, you know, what's their routine? Like you mentioned, you know, do you look at your devices? Are you seeing that blue light before you go to bed? Try to decrease that, you know, a couple hours before bed and not watch TV or the screens, which I know is really hard for people because a lot of people like to go to bed right after they watch the evening news.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the evening news also can be a stressor. So that's, once again, goes to that. Or like TV shows can be a stressor for some people, and they may be a stressor and they don't even realize it because their body is just on that heightened awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, trying to decompress and relax before bed, eat a couple, you know, hours before bed, you know, so your body's not working hard at digesting, and avoiding caffeine before. I try to like cut that off at like noon. You know, I don't know what you
Me
do,
too.
Susan.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I say 2 o'clock is the absolute latest, but definitely cutting that off. So then that's not affecting your sleep. And I feel like you just have better quality of sleep.
Absolutely.
And that's what we were talking too before, because a lot of us have devices now, whether it's a Fitbit or like your Apple Watch, that shows the quality of your sleep, because you may be sleeping 7 hours, but you might not be getting good quality sleep. Mm-hmm. And so trying those, you know, simple tips about the decreased screen time, getting that morning sunshine, that morning light if you can, and having that regular schedule and trying to relax before bed can all help.
Mm-hmm. Great information.
So, yeah, thanks. And I could talk about that all day too. I have lots more.
And one of the ways to relax before you go to bed are different stress reduction and relaxation and breathing techniques.
Yes.
Yes. So this was also part of a challenge that 21st gave us, was working on some deep breathing before we went to bed. We use this with our patients because when you have pain, you know, you breathe erratically, you breathe real shallowy, which isn't, when you breathe real shallow, it doesn't get the relaxation response from the lower part of the lungs. And so we teach them how to breathe through it. You know, you usually think of childbirth, and they teach you how to breathe during that. And so we teach them how to breathe during things that we might do that might not be comfortable. And that can be very helpful. Some people also require a thing called 3D breathing. And so we do that with specific populations if that is what they specifically need. Diaphragmatic breathing is typically the most common and thought of one, but we do pick the breathing technique for what that particular person needs. Diaphragmatic breathing is also called belly breathing, and this is taught to people with GI symptoms, pain from different things, anxiety. I'm seeing a lot more people with anxiety. Are
Me
you?
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we do some anxiety reduction techniques, and sometimes along with the breathing. The breathing is also a component of what we use when we're working with lymphatic patients, because your lymphatic system thrives on deep breathing, because those really deep lymph nodes in your body, when you do this, that massages them. They're like little sponges, and when you deeply breathe, and then you follow that with a contraction of the abdominal muscles, which everybody's are weak, right? So when you do that coordinated effort, that helps to improve the lymphatic system too. And that gets all the garbage out so that all the water you've been drinking can do the best job it can.
Do its thing. Yeah. This is so interesting.
Yeah. And linking back to the hydration, you know, we want to focus most of your hydration in the morning and the early afternoon so that you're not getting up at night to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So... Which then helps your sleep. And restorative sleep is incredibly helpful for everybody, but particularly people with chronic pain and anxiety issues. That can really help. We do some real specific techniques like mindfulness. A couple of the components of it are just improving your state of awareness and acceptance. And that also helps to ground you, along with a grounding technique that we use that is very simple and just really helps so many people. I also incorporate autonomic nervous system quieting techniques with my fibromyalgia and chronic pain patients. Incredibly helpful. I see victims of trauma. It's also just incredibly helpful with them. I recommend a couple of different apps that people can use, and it is based on what their interest is. So if your interest is in New Age, I'll provide you an app that focuses on New Age. If you have a Christian basis, if that's important to you, I have a Christian app for that. And so I just give people specifically what fits to their life.
So fantastic.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Like, I feel like that could just be a program in and of itself. I mean, we could just explore and keep exploring. But I do love that we have these tools that are available and, you know, to share with patients. Why not when these tools are there? And sometimes it's just people don't realize that they're there.
Well, I also do relaxation techniques specifically. And again, it's specifically targeted to the particular person and their beliefs and how they want to go about it. And so sometimes we recommend them for people before they go to sleep at night. Sometimes it helps them to take a little time out during their day. And for some patients, that's perfect. And most of these things we can incorporate together with the breathing, so it's not like you're taking an hour out of your day to do this stuff. Some of it we can do when you're driving, but obviously nothing that involves closing your eyes. But you can do the diaphragmatic breathing every time you come to a stoplight. That might help decrease your road rage, which that would be a good thing too.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
So just hardwiring the techniques to relax, very important.
And I would think so many people can benefit from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I talk stress management stuff with probably 90% of my patients. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So just something, like you say, you know, people come up and they're so, like Susan had mentioned, like so many people are so anxious or their nervous system, it just seems like on alert. And so just kind of bringing them down to that level to relax a little bit and to decompress. So.
I also try to write everything down for them so that they don't have to remember it. And I find that to be very helpful because, you know, you're in the situation and other people might be watching you or listening to you. And so writing those things down can just help take the pressure off so you don't have to remember. Mm-hmm. Especially people with chronic pain have so much information going on in their brain at the same time, it just doesn't stick. And so writing it down is something they can refer to later. Mm. Can be very, very helpful.
And
we have the luxury of being able to spend time with them, which, you know, a lot, unfortunately, sometimes you don't get to spend the time with your doctor that you want to, and they're not able to go into these things.
Mm-hmm. So. And Susan, that just kind of reminded me, making just like one or two changes. Like, you don't have to do all of this at one time. Mm-hmm. Just one or two things, you know, get that going, and then make that next step.
Right. And just like the two of you have shared, these pieces are just, they're like intertwined, all connected. Mm-hmm. You know, it is like the breathing and stress management that can help you relax, to sleep better. I mean, it's that's what I love about it. And we can just keep hitting on different topics here. I do want to take some time. As I mentioned at the top of the program, it is Occupational Therapy Month. And so while we have you on the program, Diana, as one of our occupational therapists, maybe talk a little bit about that and some of the services you're able to provide. I just, you know, briefly touched on them, but how you can assist patients.
Yeah, like we talked before, like with functional health, OTs treat the whole person and the whole body. So we are not just upper body or hand therapists, like many may think. We also, you know, look at your habits and your routines. We talked about occupation, you know, being anything that occupies your time, like sleep. So we look at those occupations that you're having difficulty with, and we do a task analysis and really hone in on what we can help you with those. Like if it's an injury, you know, like that wrist fracture, we look at maybe it's just making supper, you know, stirring like something on the stove. Like that's hard, that rotation. So we break that down and we put that into our treatment plan to help them get that function back and then also work on that activity. So here at Van Deest, we work with inpatients. Usually with generalized weakness or they're recovering from an illness or a fall, we work on their ADLs, which is activities of daily living. That can include like dressing, grooming, hygiene, toileting, showering, just getting them back home to be able to function independently. And then also look at their safety. This is also where I am also a certified aging in place specialist. So I use this certification when I'm working with people on the inpatient side, looking at what they need to be set up at home for like home modifications to adapt their environment to meet their needs. And on the outpatient side, Sarah and I both, and Sarah's also the other occupational therapist, so she does all that with the inpatients as well. And outpatient wise, we work with people with hand injuries such as carpal tunnel fractures, arthritis. We also work with people with elbow injuries, fractures, lateral epicondylitis. We do custom splinting for people and neuro rehab, so like with people with stroke, MS, Parkinson's disease, and also we do wheelchair evaluations. So kind of have jack of all trades kind of thing with occupational therapy. So, and like Lori mentioned earlier, Sarah, she's a certified lymphedema therapist, and actually so is Susan. So she's wonderful. A physical therapist here. So they also collaborate a lot together and get that, both disciplines, that information is really good. And then you had mentioned too, I'm an LSVT big certified therapist, and that is treating people with Parkinson's disease. And we also have a physical therapist here, Lori Andrews, that she's also certified. And we do the LSVT big program. And that is a 4-week intensive program for people who have Parkinson's disease. We've had a lot of great outcomes from that. And you mentioned so many different months, you know, it's OT month, the podiatry, so it's like the month.
Okay. Yes.
Happy feet. And that's a good thing because, yeah, happy feet. And so it's Parkinson's Awareness Month as well. So just wanted to do a shout out for that. And we do have a support group every month. So even if you are not ready to start the program, you can stop into our support group, you can stop into our therapy gym, and just talk to one of us and learn more about the program anytime. So,
fantastic. Anything else either one of you would like to share before we close out the program?
Well, I just think we have a great crew of people and we collaborate well together. And
I do too.
That's wonderful. And Van Deest, the doctors are amazing. I have worked in hospitals all over central and southern Iowa, and this is the place I like to come work.
Susan, I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I have to echo that to the team at 21st Century here at Van Deese Medical Center. Every single one of them is fantastic. You both do a terrific job, as does everyone else in that department. And we do have a great team here. So if you are someone that really could benefit, needs help from any of the services we've talked about today, or you just have questions, wondering if you could a benefit from some of their services, I would direct you to call their department. Again, the number is 515-832-7735. Ladies, Diana and Susan, I want to thank you for being with us on the program today. Great information, and thank you for everything you do.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. That will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where our focus is you.